Hello and welcome to a new episode of Comadres y Comics. We are your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Hey guys, how is everything?
I'm wearing chanclas.
Finally, right?
Yes. Finally.
It's still a little kind of
I
cold.
Don't care. I have chanclas and shorts on today. I'm so happy to not be having socks, although I do rock my pink Docs very cutely. Mm-hmm. I just have been so looking forward to nice spring weather. Mm-hmm. And we live in Southern California, for gosh sakes.
It's... I feel like it's still going to be like going that on again, off again rain.
Yeah, for a bit. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I'm in a very emotionally abusive relationship with the weather right now.
So I had some plants planted. So you could already see the little green thing uh-huh. sticking out. So that's exciting. I can't wait to see them bloom.
What kind? Like flowers or?
Yes. Costco had bags full of like those, ¿cómo se llaman? Those pods mm-hmm. that you just put in the ground and.
Like wildflowers?
Bulbs. Thank you. Bulbs aren't pods. Uh-huh. Whatever. I was just talking about aliens. I'm like, yeah, pods.
That's oh, yeah. Right. We've been talking about that. I wonder why, Kristen.
And we have gladiolas. That girl who got dahlias. Dahlias. who got murdered, cut in half. I always, every time I see that that flower, I think of the girl, you know, uh-huh. they found Dahlia, but the black Dahlia. So we got those, and I have some wildflowers too, so
nice.
I'm excited to see how they look, and they're supposed to attract butterflies and hummingbirds,
oh,
so I'm excited.
What? I've been hearing a lot of people talking about planting little flower beds in their yards to attract the butterflies. Mm. And this morning on the radio, actually on the way here, there was someone talking about, what are the really pretty, oh, the monarchs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I was like, oh, I want to do that. And we actually have a little spot in the backyard that we could.
And wildflowers are the best because they, like, they're kind of hard to kill.
Yeah, that's what I need.
Yeah, so that or milkweed.
Oh.
And
oh,
I personally like how milkweed smells, so.
Yeah, that's a good one. I have some bad news. Like, when we came back from Modesto, mm-hmm. there was, like, butterfly stuck in the car.
Oh, yeah.
I was like... I want to take a picture, but I feel like people are going to be upset because I killed some butterflies.
People would have been upset, but what are they doing flying on the freeway?
Right. I mean, how did they fly so low that they ended up on the front of
fly
the car?
High.
And they were stuck
Come on,
between...
butterflies.
Yeah, they were, you know, stuck in the little crevices of the front of the car. I was like, oh my God. And I was thankful for the rain because it washed it off, but...
yeah.
It was kind of a massacre on the front.
A massacre of butterflies.
Do you guys not ever find bugs in your, well, you don't drive, but in your grill or car here in Los Angeles?
Not really. Not as much as when
I've
we went
noticed.
To. Yeah. Not as much as when we went to, like when I go on a road trip, I'll find bugs. But mm-hmm. usually like here in LA, not at all really. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And there's a super bloom happening
yes.
in Lake Elsinore.
Yes.
And I heard you can see it from the satellite. So that's pretty interesting.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's kind of green and then patches of like orangey yellow.
Well, I heard that people can't follow directions and that Lake Elsinore had to close down
yeah.
because people were stomping all over them.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Oh. There's a guy who got bit by a rattlesnake for going off the path
that's
and trying
what
to
gets.
Go. Yeah.
Oh, well, for? Por, as my mom would say,
por pendejo. That's hilarious.
God.
Well, I it's sad. It sucks, but it's kind of hilarious.
But it probably got to a doctor. If we were able to tell the story, then he's fine.
You're fine. Walk it off.
You're fine. Walk it off.
That's what your Latina mom would say.
Just walk it off. No te duelen todos. No llores. No llores. Te voy a pegar si lloras.
Oh my God, that is yes. I'm gonna hit you if you cry.
Right,
yeah.
Yeah.
Or you want me to give you something
to cry about? Oh my Lord, yes.
Oh my God,
I already saw some backlash on that. So there was, I guess, Four Brothers Brewery. It's in Huntington Beach. One of them or a fan or somebody took a can and put it in the poppies and took a picture and put it on Instagram. And immediately somebody said, I'm never buying your beer.
Oh, my goodness.
How dare you do this to the flowers? And he goes, relax, bro. It was on the path.
Yeah.
And I didn't kill any flowers in taking this picture. So I was like, damn, all right. People are serious about these poppies.
Yeah.
Anyway, what do we have for chisme?
What do we have, Sarah? You're the one with the tea this time around.
I got the tea. I don't know if you guys heard, but there's a petition that wants Amber Heard removed from Aquaman 2.
Amber Heard is
Johnny Depp's ex. Yes. Oh, okay.
What does she do on? And I never saw Aquaman.
I haven't seen it yet either.
Oh, who is she?
She is Aquaman's love interest.
Mera?
Yes.
Oh, she's Mera.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize that's who Amber Heard was.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen the movie she was in with Johnny Depp, the one about the Rum Diaries. Anyway, she's stunning, beautiful, just amazing. She really rocks red lipstick. But I didn't think she would be a good Mera. Like, I just hadn't seen her her acting capabilities, because she's a bombshell and you know. But she was brilliant. I loved her as Mera.
Oh,
I just watched it and I loved the movie. And I didn't want to love it. My only complaint is I feel that there were several fight scenes where Aquaman should have had his shirt torn off. Like that. Or, you know, or it should have, you know, like, you know, just peeled off his skin or something, you know. That's my only complaint. But the whole movie in itself, I really, really enjoyed. And I actually really enjoyed Amber Heard. So for them to take her out of Aquaman 2, I feel it's
but
stupid.
But what is the complaint?
So apparently she was the abusive party in the relationship, right?
I saw a lot of those things. I don't particularly agree with that statement, but I understand now where the petition is coming from.
Yeah, and actually Johnny Depp filed a lawsuit against her.
Yeah,
saying that she was the domestic abuser. And then the petition was created by change.org by Jean Larson. That sounds like a girl, but it could be a guy, right?
Jean, yeah, could be both.
It's J-E-A-N-N-E.
Oh, that seems to be more of a female spelling, but could still be.
Yeah, so the petition is to reach 5,000 signatures. And they've received over 3,600 people. What are you doing? Why are you signing this petition? Like, it's to me, I feel that it was Johnny who was at fault, and he's still getting hired by Disney.
Yeah,
like nobody's saying anything about that yet. Amber Heard is in freaking Aquaman, and now they're filming Aquaman 2, and it's like, oh, everybody's in an uproar. Like, why is it always the women that get like such bad press?
Yeah,
like, and the men, they're just like, whatever, I'll continue working. Like, I fucking hate that. Excuse my French.
No, I hadn't heard about this petition, though. In fact, this is the first time hearing that she was in Aquaman. Although I want to see that movie. I still haven't seen it, even though you all know Aquaman is my childhood boyfriend. And I love Jason Momoa. So it will definitely be watched by me at some point. I just don't, with Mera and also with Medusa in Inhumans, the cartoonishly red hair, just very distracting to me in both of those characters.
I felt the way that way when I was seeing the trailer. I was like, really, Hollywood, you can't spend a little extra $200 on getting her like a nicer wig?
Yeah.
But actually, it didn't look bad during the movie. Okay. Like, I was taken away from that moment. I mean, I wasn't taken away from the movie moment. I ignored the fact that her wig was weird. The action was so amazing. So, that's my chisme. Like, seriously, people, seriously. Like, I just don't get it. I felt like, I was like, what the is this? Like, I thought it was one of those Onion reports, but apparently not. Apparently you people out there want to just keep a woman down. But when obviously I know that it was him who was the one that was abusive, but whatever.
And I mean, because she won her lawsuit against him.
And so, then she donated all her money that she got. Yeah. She didn't keep any of it.
Mm-hmm. No, she donated it all into a women's recovery center.
Right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so it just, that speaks more to me than what Johnny Depp is saying happened.
Yeah.
And I mean, the court case hasn't been like fully fulfilled, but I very much doubt what it is that he's claiming. And it's just like, it's very much a kind of he said, she said, but then she said and proved it. Yeah. So kind of like, I don't know who we're going to believe here. Yeah. Like, but yeah.
And then he showed pictures of his face bruised from her punches. Mm-hmm. But let me say this. If somebody's beating your ass, you're going to punch back. Mm-hmm. So if he got punched back, you know, yeah, I hope she did bruise his face. Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. I mean, you're not just going to sit there and take it. I mean, we all saw the movie about Tina Turner and Ike Turner called
What's Love Got to Do with It.
Mm-hmm. And when they were in that the limo scene where she just had it and she punched back and she started hitting him back. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And then she walked out of the limo and she's like, I'm Tina Turner. You can take this ring. I just need somewhere to stay. It was like, whoa, like she finally fought back. And that happens. So, uh-huh. Johnny Depp, if you got punched, it's because you probably, it was the last
hit first.
Yep.
Yeah. And so, it's, yeah. Anyway, I lost respect for Johnny Depp a very long time ago.
Yeah, I was a fan too, but, whatever. Yeah. Yeah. So, Kristen, what time is it?
It's hora de la cervecita.
And today, we are drinking... we're going to go through a trip into, what is it called? Nicaragua. And unfortunately, all the stuff is in Spanish. Ooh. So this is Cervecería Mitos. Es la primera línea de cerveza tipo artesanal de CCN, which I don't know what that means. Hecha en producciones exclusivas y limitadas. Mitos embarca al consumidor en una aventura para deleitar. Delight el paladar con sus celebración de una intensidad sin precedentes y sin concesiones. Héctor Arellano, gerente de la marca Mitos, dice: esta cerveza nace en 2015 de una necesidad innovadora, una necesidad de ofrecer algo diferente, cerveza con estilo de cerveza europea, ya que la mayoría de estilos de cerveza nacen en Europa. So today we're drinking Mitos Irish Red.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want me to read it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. inspirado en la tradición irlandesa, hemos desarrollado Mitos Irish Ale, una cerveza de color rojo cobrizo, which means red copper, de cuerpo medio y aroma distintivo a caramelo, que proviene de las maltas dulces y tostadas. El sutil sabor a lúpulo, which is hops, I had to look that up, y caramelo te conectará con los años de historia que hay detrás de este estilo.
Oh, I didn't realize you were reading what was actually on the bottle. Yeah, I didn't know that's what you were going to read.
Yeah, I actually made it bigger because I can't read that small print.
Okay. But, so go ahead and tell us everything you said in English.
Damn it. You guys go ahead and pour it.
Okay.
So it's the first artisanal beer in Nicaragua.
That's interesting.
Yeah, it's exclusive and in limited brewing. Mitos wants to take you on an adventure to delight your palate in a celebration of intensity without precedence and concesiones. I don't know what that means.
Concessions.
Thank you. this brewery was born in 2015 for a need for innovation, a need to offer something different, a need to offer a style of beer European that is where they feel most of the European beers, most of the beers come from is like the European, right. Well, which is I think the style they're going for.
Mm-hmm.
This Mitos Irish Red was inspired by the Irish style of beer. It has red copper color. It's a medium body, a distinctive aroma of caramel and malts, sweets and toasted. It's subtle hops taste of caramel that will connect you with years of history in the style of beer.
Oh.
So I think
we're going. It's like the commercial Calgon Take Me Away, and she would get in, and all of a sudden she would be like in this tropical island. Just like that's what it seems like you're telling us. We're going to be whisked away to historical Nicaragua.
Right. Oh, I got the opposite of that. I'm just like, are you going to take me to cold ass Ireland?
Like- yes. When I started reading about this brewery, I felt like, why are they trying to be so posh? They're in Nicaragua. What? No, but it's actually, I feel because the country is so hot, I feel that they take a European style of brew, uh-huh, and then they make it their own by making it a cool,
yeah,
brew. So what did you guys think?
Well, it's very light, as you mentioned, or I don't know if you did or not. It's a 5.6 ABV, so it's very light. It's a red ale, but even and it's not filtered either. So even as a red ale, it's super, super light.
Like, yes.
I usually, with red ales, I'll drink those when I want something between a lager pilsner and an IPA. And I'll usually do a red ale. But I don't get any kind of like body from it at all.
Right? It's kind of flat.
It seems flat, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's European, so that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. And that's another thing, yeah, I was going to say. She's absolutely, mm-hmm, right about that.
And I actually don't like that.
Yeah. I don't either. I've been to, mm-hmm, beer tastings where they were all English beers. And A, we drank them warm. Not the business.
I don't
and
like that.
And B, they're in cans where you open them and there's like this little ball inside that like releases fizz. But it's like very minimal, like a Foster's, I think, has.
Okay.
That, if you've ever had a Foster's. But anyway, yeah, and so very flat, very watery, and warm is
The impression
is English,
yeah,
beer.
Yes.
And yeah, definitely this seems to be along those lines. But I could see in a country where it's hot and humid and just very uncomfortable how this would be refreshing. Like, who, mm-hmm, wants to drink an IPA in like 80 degree weather and the humidity is like 95%?
Exactly.
Yeah, it's not gonna, you're not trying,
you'll pass
to
pass out.
Yeah, you're not trying to feel warm, you're not trying to give yourself a heat stroke.
Yeah,
yeah,
so you're trying,
yeah,
to cool down. So I get that, but at the same time I'm not very impressed with it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it sounded better than it is, I think, the taste wise. But I have to say,
I was already hesitant when they said European, and I was just like, so flat.
Like, do you know what you're saying?
Do you know what you're saying? Please.
I'm going to give it, what is our score on this, Kristen, lovely Kristen, if you could tell us what our, whoa, scoring.
Well, our score is what do you call it, out of five. A five-tier scoring chart. There you go. Mm-hmm. The bottom is flaccid. And then number two is initial. Three is partial. Four is full. And five is rigid. And if it's off the charts, it is Super Saiyan.
This is Sarah, and I'm going to go with the partial.
You're going three out of five? Whoa.
Yeah, and only because I've tasted the domestic beer in Nicaragua, and this is a very big improvement. And I do feel,
really?
That, yes, and I do,
okay,
feel that the
so you have a frame of reference.
Yes, yeah. And I feel that they're, the flavors in this are fresh. I feel that they use fresh ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel that it is refreshing, especially for the weather out there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
It is a little flat, but if you said, okay, you could drink any beer in Nicaragua, from Nicaragua, I would definitely, hands down, choose this.
Yeah.
Like, for sure.
Well, this is Kristen. I'm giving it an initial because I've never been to Nicaragua. I've never tasted any beer. And I only have my own craft brewery experience to basically compare it to. Mm-hmm. And I can definitely, like you were saying, Sarah, taste the beginnings of something.
Right.
And I can appreciate that it would be very refreshing, but it's just not my thing. So I think I'm giving it an initial, which is a 2 out of 5.
And just to let you know, we did review some beers from what I thought was Nicaragua, but they were actually from El Salvador. So the craft brews we reviewed before from were Como Cadejo Negro. They were from El Salvador.
Oh, really?
Oh.
So this is the first Nicaraguan craft beer, as far as I know, that that exists in Nicaragua. So I think that for being the first craft beer and to embark into this market, I think they're doing a pretty good job so far.
It's a very new brewery too, 2015.
Yeah.
So I'd be interested to see what other beers they come up with, mm-hmm. And other styles that they might do.
If they improve.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And do you know if there are any places in the States that people can get them from?
No, but I can post it up if I do find a place. It was hard enough to find their Facebook and and then their website didn't even work.
Oh.
So I don't know if they've already, you know, tapped out and left, or if, because actually I want to shout out my husband. He brought this from his trip to Nicaragua. He brought us 3 to review.
Cool.
So, I'm not sure if they have continued or if they went under or whatever, but. So far, I was pretty. It's a good attempt.
Jen, what do you think?
I'm gonna give it an initial. Flaccid is reserved for sours and other beers I don't like. But it's definitely delicious. An initial. It's like if I had a choice between this Modelo, a Pacifico, and Corona, I would definitely choose these out of a list of stuff that I do not want.
Right, right. No, of course.
Yeah,
of course.
So,
I get it. I totally get it.
It does have some flavor, I will admit. It does. And that's better than no flavor or piss water. So, I can taste it. And there's like a bit of a tanginess, some leftover tanginess, but I don't like the flatness of it.
Right.
I do not taste any of the caramel or toastiness or any of those other things that it purported to have, but there is some flavor.
There's like some flavor, like it just a little bit.
It reminds me a little bit like cider, a little without the sweetness.
Without the sweetness.
Yeah.
Oh, if it was actually sweet, I would have been like, oh yeah, this is my kind of beer, with a bit more carbonation. And then I would have been like, yes. But as is, I think an initial will do.
Yeah,
and I'll drink it.
All right, that was our beer review, guys. All right, guys, we are doing a book review on Eternity Girl. And who can tell us a little bit about this book?
I don't know. And I read it.
So, Eternity Girl is actually an imprint of DC's Young Animal line, which was Gerard Way's kind of wave of books.
Mm-hmm.
So DC gave Gerard Way creative control and kind of like a small imprint that he could work on called Young Animals that he would be like the editor-in-chief of and stuff like that. And he himself was writing Doom Patrol for this line.
Okay.
So stuff like that, it included Doom Patrol, Mother Panic, Eternity Girl, Shade the Changing Girl, Cave Carson Has a Cybernetic Eye.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And there was one or two others, and this all kind of culminated to be like an event happened that was called the Milk Wars.
Yeah.
And it was really interesting. I thought it was really cool and kind of like weird and eccentric. And then off of that came Eternity Girl. And it's very meta. And I really like it. First of all,
she keeps saying that, and I can only assume that meta means super confusing.
I mean, Deadpool's meta, too, a little bit.
I get Deadpool's meta. I mean, he's talking straight to me.
Yeah. But yeah, this is more like creationist meta. A little pretentious.
Yeah.
But
I did get that sensation.
I kind of like that. So, Eternity Girl was written by Magdalena. I'm saying it like a Hispanic.
I think it's just Magdalene.
Yeah, Magdalene. Magdalene Visaggio, who's the writer. Sunny Louie, who's the artist. Chris Chukri, the colorist. And Todd Klein, the letterer. And it... I'm just going to read the back off of this. She'll do anything to die. Carolyn Sharp gave up her humanity to gain incredible shape-shifting abilities, powers she used to save the world time and time again as the superhero Chrysalis. But as the years wore on, she began to lose control of the elemental forces coursing through her body, making her dangerously unstable and forcing her removal from Alpha 13, the covert government agency that created her. Now, although she can barely hold herself together, Carolyn's unique condition also means that nothing can kill her. Isolated, alienated, and profoundly alone, she's determined to break the curse of her immortality by any means necessary. Enter the villainous Madame Atom with the offer of a lifetime to end her suffering. All Carolyn has to do is undertake one final dimension-spanning mission with one simple objective, the destruction of the entire universe.
Yes, and that sounds super, super interesting. Mm-hmm. And when I started reading this, the first few pages was kind of like when she was first introduced as a character, when she first changed into what mm-hmm. she became, mm-hmm. Which was back in what was this night? The look, the feel of the pages, very grainy. There's even like a watermark here. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. So at the first three pages, I was hooked. I thought, this is amazing. And then I proceeded to move on to other aspects of her life mm-hmm. when she was battling Madame Atom. But these were taken from like in the past printings, which mm-hmm. I thought was really awesome. And then she brings it back to the present, mm-hmm. which I love the art, the colors.
It's very nice.
It's amazing. And her struggle with depression, how she basically has no will to live, obviously, mm-hmm. but it's it was very hard to read because I just felt like I want to help her, but I can't because mm-hmm. she can't die. And she has difficulty holding her human form now because mm-hmm. it takes so much energy from her. And she's always exhausted and she doesn't want to leave her apartment. And the people that she was working with basically have shut her out, put her on like medical leave because of an incident that happened. So I really feel really bad for her. Like reading mm-hmm. this book, I felt super bad for her.
I have a question for you. Do you know if Alpha 13 is a real comic or not?
No.
Don't know? Or do you?
No, I didn't know. Is it?
Okay. Because it's not.
Oh, really?
Alpha 13 is not. So the way that this comic... I should probably this with the fact that Eternity Girl is not a beginner's comic. Mm-hmm. In that if you're just getting into comics and you want to read something cool and stuff like that, or something that's like fun and stuff like that, this is not the book.
Or if you own a comic shop and you read tons of comics.
Yeah. Yeah, that too. And it's just because it's very kind of... I can see like it can be very confusing. It's very commentary. The reason I call it meta is because it's basically running commentary on reboots in the comic book industry, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. In the form of a comic and this character who cannot die because she keeps being rebooted, mm-hmm. and that's what the book is about.
I see.
So it's very like kind of a here's the state of comics. Kind of book. Yeah. And so unless you know kind of those intricacies and stuff like that, and like kind of how people's reaction and us as comic shop employees and you, Kristen, as a comic shop owner, we can kind of see like people who come in and complain like, oh, they're doing this again kind of stuff. Yeah. It's kind of running commentary on that.
Okay.
And stuff like that. So
statement.
So yeah, it's a bit of a statement piece mm-hmm. in and of itself. So this is kind of like if you pick it up, you're gonna and you are just new to comics or you're just not that like super into like commentary comics and stuff like that, this is not it. Like, you're not going to have a good time reading this because it's going to be just confusing. The artwork is amazing.
The artwork is brilliant.
And that's why you might keep buying it. I know a lot of people have done that. But if you kind of, if you just want a superhero thing.
Oh, that is definitely not a superhero thing.
Yeah, no. It is not. But personally, all that aside, I really liked it because of that. Because the way it presented itself in the first issue, in the opening pages of it, it's just all like, here is how comics used to be, and then here's how they slowly progress, and this is how they keep changing a character and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So in this comic book itself, it's about Eternity Girl basically taking agency, not just in kind of like the gods or the people who control the universe and stuff like that are the writer and the artist and the company itself, and how basically they treat characters, how they won't let some characters die because it's a comic book and they always keep coming back.
Yeah.
So it's her basically finding agency and being like, oh, like, so, I want to end this cycle of, like, even if I die in this comic, unless I erase what's creating the comic, I'm still going to be repeating this process. And that was Madame Adam's whole thing.
Right, yeah.
That she was basically, she saw this. She, like, saw, like, I guess, beyond the veil, beyond the fourth wall and stuff like that, and who was holding the pen and the pencil and stuff like that. And she it broke her, and she basically became crazy. And she's like, you know what? To stop this all, destroy
it all.
Destroy reality, basically. Destroy life. So, and stuff like that.
That's super interesting that you say that, because there's different planes of existence here that exist parallel to each other. But you're saying that even we exist in this comic as the readers.
Yes.
Mind totally blown. My God. See, this is why sometimes discussing comic books is really important, because it actually presents a whole different view of the same subject.
And all the different realities was one of the main reasons why I had such a hard time following the storyline.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Because she would be in one situation talking, and then the next panel, it would be something completely different. Mm-hmm. And so, I was struggling trying to figure out what was going on. And I honestly, after I finished the book, had to research and read some reviews and some interviews with the creator to actually try to figure out what happened. Just read. Yeah. And a side note, Magdalene Visaggio is actually an Eisner nominated and GLAAD Media Award nominated writer. She also writes Kim and Kim, it's a book where they're two female led, like, I don't know, they're like vigilante slash, who are those people that go out and retrieve people for money? Bounty hunters.
Bounty hunters? Yeah. I was about to say hit women.
But one of the characters is transgender, a transgender woman. And so she was nominated for a GLAAD Media Award for Kim and Kim. And she herself is a transgender woman. And Sunny, who is the artist, actually is from Singapore. And he wrote The Art of Charlie Chan Hawk Chai.
Oh, yeah.
Or not wrote, he drew it. And he won that book was the very first graphic novel ever to win the Singapore Literary Prize.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, I remember that. It's out of print in Diamond, but we had it in stock.
I remember seeing it.
And it was really
good
because I believe it won the Eisner for best foreign.
Yes, he's won 3 Eisner Awards.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so in it, that book itself is like really, it was amazing. I loved how it was drew and the history of it too as well, because it was all about this this artist whose art we've seen, like, one, he's big in Singapore, but whose art we have seen here in the States as well. We just never recognize it because it's kind of like a pop culture thing. And so it was really great, but I didn't know that it was him that was doing the artwork for this, and it looks amazing. Yeah. I really liked it.
So you might find it interesting, Sarah, to know this is all the information I found because I was doing all this research trying to explain to myself what was going on. But the Eternity Girl character sprang from what Neil Gaiman did with Elemental Girl in the Sandman universe.
Yes, and that felt really familiar to me when I was reading, initially reading reading it, and I was like, this reminds me of that one character that wanted to die and finally yes. asked Ra to kill her.
Yes.
And I was like, is it her? Because it's a different name. But so, yes, I totally got
so
that,
that
vibe.
So that developed from that. Oh, okay. And turned into the this new Eternity girl, Carolyn Chrysalis. Mm. And so there is a lot of commentary on a lot of things. I mean, there's a, it's a lot of commentary too, on mental health issues.
Yes, oh, yeah, absolutely.
I mean, the whole reality of her not being able to keep her human form and struggling with that and trying to just exist day to day and sometimes just minute to minute is just her, like her struggling with her literal identity and the fact that she is suicidal and just wanting to die and can't because she's just eternal. It's just like so there's so much there to unpack in this story, and it was I think very difficult for me going in not knowing what line of story I was supposed to be following, I guess. And so it was like very confusing. But after I read what was going on and what was supposed to be the story, I was like, oh, that actually is kind of very interesting. And I, even now having a little bit more information, felt like I could read it again and appreciate it on a whole different level.
Definitely. And I just, I loved all, I love the meta commentary. I love the fact that it talks about depression and functioning, not even functional depression. This is a woman who's met her her limit. She,
and yes, definitely. I actually, sorry to cut you off, but I always find storylines particularly interesting where it's quote unquote superhuman people dealing with very human issues and depression. Definitely. I don't think anyone ever thinks about superheroes dealing with depression.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I feel that I'm pretty smart, you know. But where it lost me was where she was having a therapy session, but at the same time she was battling this entity to get to a pillar of creativity. And I was like, what the heck did I miss some pages? What happened? Like, you know, that threw me off, and after that I couldn't get back on the horse, you know. But listening to what you're saying, I can totally, like Kristen said, reread it and have a whole different appreciation for the same book I just read.
Because all these events that are happening in the book are happening at the same time,
right?
So as she's like talking with people on, I guess, the physical plane of existence, she is also in the metaphysical plane of existence as well, with the ghost of Madam Adam. Trying to go ahead and create it. So she can exist in multiple planes. But also this gives her the feeling that she's crazy as well.
That's what I was feeling too.
That she's, that she's disassociating, or that like...
And there was a point where I thought she was creating that whole other realm. So I'm sorry, continue.
Oh no, you're right. Like, because at one point, like, you as the reader have to be like, wait, is she just imagining all this herself? Like, you have to have that kind of moment of doubt, because it is a kind of a common trope use that, like, it's all in your head. But then sometime in the book, Madam Adam appears to everybody else. And then everybody was just like, oh wait, she's not crazy. Kind of like the director of Alpha 13. He's just like, are you seeing what I'm seeing? And then he's just like, yeah, the ghost of Madam Adam. And then they're like, okay, that makes sense. And then it kind of goes forward, and maybe then towards the end it does get a little superhero-y, but I actually kind of really like it as well. Especially towards the end when her friend Danny comes in,
and for the longest time I thought she was also just kind of a figment of her imagination. Like, I couldn't trust anything at one point. I'm sorry, continue.
And how it ends, I think, is very realistic to people with depression and how you can prevent depression. And it's just, reach out. Talk to your friends, talk with people that you know, and just be like, and one, you yourself have to be receptive to that, or just like really having a shoulder to cry on helps a lot.
Right.
It does help a lot. I can confirm. But and I really like that. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even though like it was seemed kind of cheesy and corny, and maybe I kind of wanted to see her destroy creation like that too. I did like how it ended,
yeah,
as well. Yeah. And there's like an even like bigger ending after that where you could, where it's kind of revealed. Well, no, not revealed, but there's like I really liked that second part to the ending, mm-hmm, as well.
I don't even know what she's talking about.
By that point, I was already, my mind was like so full of stuff, I don't think that part fit.
Okay. and you know, and I was actually comparing it in my head to Legion, the show on Fox.
You know, I had to watch that first episode 3 times until I understood what was going on. Yeah. And then I only watched 2 more episodes after that because it was one of those things where you couldn't do anything else. Like, you couldn't look at Facebook for like 5 seconds or anything because you missed something. Mm-hmm. And then you're like, what is happening? And you're exactly right. That's the same exact way I felt. I was telling Sarah and Jen that I feel like, this is Kristen, I'm just way too simple-minded for this book.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't want to give up either. I mean, because I, like I said, like right after that one scene where there's 2 things happening at the same time,
yeah,
in mm-hmm, 2 different planes of existence, and I'm just like, I don't want to give up, but God, this is so hard. But like, you know what, now appreciating what you've said and, you know, the research you've done, Kristen, I feel that I could reread this book, yes, and feel a little bit better about it.
Me too. Mm-hmm.
But I think we're going to rate it based on our first impression.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This is the kind of book that is going to have like different ratings due to different planes of existence and mind. Mm-hmm. But right now we're going to, because I would have to reread it to appreciate it on another level, but... for Sarah, me, I'm going to give it 2 conchas, mm-hmm, because the art is astounding and because they were really creative with all the different planes of existence. So I'm going to go with 2 conchas.
This is Kristen. I'm also giving it 2 conchas because the art was good. You can give it one. You know what was really good? What I really, really liked was the coloring.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. Amazing. Yes.
The muted colors of everything, I think, really... It gave me the impression that they were going for like what it's like to feel depression. Mm, like this is what the world seems to you when mm-hmm, you're like trying to just go about your daily life. So there's a lot of different things that were going on, and I guess I would give 2. Okay, this is my rating. For just reading it, not knowing anything, 1 concha. But 2 conchas after I researched it and understood what I read.
So 1.5 conchas.
Yes.
Oh, I really liked it.
Yeah.
So, but the thing is, it was complicated. And I feel like the part of the comics as well is that they need to explain themselves. They need to be, you can't just make an out there comic and then expect people to like it and just be like, or the people to be like, oh, you just don't understand. It's art. Like, no.
Don't do that to me. Don't. <Yeah. laughs>
So, like, I feel like there's a duty to the creators as well. That they need to make stuff, if not linear, at least comprehensible.
Yeah.
And I can see where some of the incomprehension went, mm-hmm, came in and made this, could have, like, made this, like, the experience that you guys had. I read it, and I really liked it.
Yeah.
I could follow it, but I can see where a lot of people would get confused with it. Mm-hmm. So I want to give it 3, mm-hmm, but I think it deserves 2. Or okay, like 2.5. All right, 2.5 conchas. That makes me feel better.
Yes.
I really liked it. The artwork is amazing. The coloring is amazing. I think the story is super interesting and the commentary itself is good.
Yeah.
But it kind of falls into the Jonathan Hickman line of... you're kind of doing a lot.
Yeah.
You're doing too much and you're just getting a little bit long-winded.
What's the pan dulce that no one wants to eat and always is the last one left in the bag?
I think it differs for everybody. Yeah. Uh-huh. But for me, I don't like the one with the butter and sugar on top because it's too much butter for me.
Oh, I was gonna say it's two conchas and whatever it is that is everyone's least favorite.
Oh yeah, 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 yeah.
I'm gonna research
like
that.
The you were able to get the two that you wanted, but then everybody else took all the good ones, so that you have the other. And I mean, it's still good with coffee, but it still wasn't your first choice,
right?
Yeah, that
and
one.
Then you wonder why do they always buy this one if they nobody eats it,
right? Yeah. Exactly. But then somebody eventually eats it,
right? So, yeah, it's a little hard, but you just dip it in the cafe and you can eat it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's how I started drinking coffee at such a young age. Because the pan dulce was always really hard because we'd leave it out and we'd buy so much of it because our eyes were bigger than our stomachs and it would get so hard. And yeah, my grandma would just give me a cup of coffee and I would dunk it in there.
Yep.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
That's the rating for this book.
And so it is. And now it's time for On My Radar.
So, yay. I'm super excited about my On My Radar. This is Kristen. And I don't know if I mentioned to anybody on the show or I know Jen knows, but that for Christmas I got a PS4 and I got the Spider-Man game. And I was so super excited about it. And I haven't had a lot of time to play it since then, so I haven't actually finished it. But this comic book I'm going to talk about is actually a book that is based around the storyline that is happening inside the game.
Oh, it's good, because I do not play video games, and I heard great things about the video
about
game.
So this video game has won multiple awards for its storytelling. And we actually know one of the writers, Christos Gage, who is a longtime Spider-Man writer and comes into the shop and is like super, super friendly and nice. But it's a team of writers that wrote it. And yes, they've won tons of awards in the gaming
world.
okay.
But so this is Gamerverse is what they're calling the world, I guess. And it's Spider-Man City at War. And the cool thing about it is that even if you have played the game and you know how it all goes, because I actually have played up to what this first issue went to. Story-wise, I've played this far, but there were little changes and there were things that were added. And so that's one of the things that they say in the back, that even if you've already played the game and think you know the whole story, think again, that they're going to be delving into unexplored scenes from the original story and fleshing out secondary characters and plot lines.
Oh, nice.
So, like, for example, in the story, up until this point, we've met a main character in the game, but in the book, that main character has his son with him. So that's all I'll say about that.
I wonder who it could be.
I read this first one and I was afraid that I was going to spoil myself because, like I said, I haven't played the game. But this first one didn't show me anything that I haven't already done. In fact, I think it kind of stopped right where I've stopped at the game. So it is a motivation for me to get back to playing the game so I can get ahead of the books as they come out. But it's Spider-Man City at War. It's a Gamerverse comic and you can find them at your local comic shop.
Well, this is really exciting because I struggle. I mean, I have a great connection with my nephew, but I struggle to connect on stuff that he's interested in, like, you know,
video games. Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I didn't know what Five Nights at Freddy was for the longest. Oh, yeah. I didn't know Fortnite. Uh-huh. Fortnite, I still think, is sort of like a game of war.
It's a battle royale. Do you know what Battle Royale is?
See, nobody explained it to me. And then there was a piñata thing happening. I didn't know what was going on.
Loot boxes.
Yeah, see, what is loot box? Anyway, I feel that this could be something we can both enjoy.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
And a gaming / comic book level.
Yeah.
So I'm really excited to actually have this on my pull list for Jacob.
I mean, Eddie doesn't game, but I was playing it, and every time I got saw something that was like, oh my God, I get that reference, he would come in and be like, what's happening? Because he is a huge Spider-Man fan. Yeah. And then also he was able to point things out as well that I had missed. And it was like, oh yeah, you know why this is important? And he would explain it to me. I'm like, oh, that's kind of cool. I mean, the research I feel like that was put into writing the game itself is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Well, I'm very excited about this. Thank you for bringing that up, because now I feel like this could be something my nephew and I can have on our pull list together.
Cool.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you for that. And now it's time for Juntos y Fuertes.
Okay, so Juntos y Fuertes this week is for something near and dear and close to our heart.
Very close. Very dear.
And that is beer.
So, cerveza.
So there is a brand new brewery that opened up in the Los Angeles area. And if you've listened to our show from last summer after we went to San Diego Comic-Con, you'll find the name Border X Brewing very familiar, because we went to the ChicanoCon in San Diego in Barrio Logan.
Yes.
And Border
full
X.
Full of Latino. Yes. Latinidad.
Yes. The beer, as you might remember, had flavors like horchata and Jamaica and all kinds of like abuelitas chocolate, like yes, all kinds of amazing stuff. And they all seemed Latinx influenced.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, Border X Brewing has come to Los Angeles.
Hell yeah.
And they have opened up in Bell, which is kind of like an industrial part of like mid-east LA, I guess it's considered. Mm-hmm. Is that where accurate? So they have limited hours right now. Their operating hours are Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Thursday and Friday, it's 4 to 11, and then Saturday and Sunday, it's 12 to... Saturday's 12 to 11, and Sunday is 12 to 10. But, Sarah, you actually went to their grand opening, right?
I did. They had a pre-grand opening on Friday, which I wish I had gone to, because it looked like a little cluster of people. But I went to the Saturday grand opening, and they had Aztec Dancers Blessing...
Yeah, oh, that's awesome.
It was awesome. Aztec Dancers Blessing the opening of Border X Brewing. They had it was raining that day.
Oh, okay.
But they had a large tarp, those large white ones.
Yes.
And they had like about 7 or 8 tables inside, those long 6-foot tables, and they had vendors.
Nice.
Latinx inspired vendors, t-shirts, stickers, greeting cards.
Oh,
the greeting
wow.
cards were really cute.
Nice.
I follow them on Instagram now. They had all sorts of stuff like that. I got my husband a shirt that says illegal but I don't care or something like that. And he's like, they're gonna not like my shirt. And I go, but you're legal, so you could always, you know, bust out your green card. He's like, I'm just gonna wear it to cool events, like, you know, like the Comic-Con or something. Uh-huh. I'm like, okay, cool. They had, one of the vendors had his screen printing machine there at the location, and he was making making t-shirts for $5 and making them right then and there.
Oh,
screen
that's
printing
awesome.
Them. Yeah. And some people said, can you not put this color on? So they had like a custom one,
mm-hmm.
and it had the image of Border X Brewing with the bell,
oh,
like, because it's the city
it's
of Bell.
Bell.
Yeah. And then it had Border X Brewing, the city of Bell. And I got a t-shirt. I'm so excited. It was really, really cute. The lines were out of control.
I bet.
I went there fully wanting to taste the michelada with the...
Oh, my gosh. Okay, I'm sorry. But I follow them on Facebook, and every so often, the picture of their michelada comes
delicious
up. I do not even like micheladas, but this thing looks so...
Refreshing
and tasty, and just, oh, my gosh. It makes my mouth water every time I see it.
Yeah, and they have a brew that it has a pepino taste.
Ooh, cucumber.
Cucumber. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. I was like, didn't I just say? Oh, no, I did say pepino in Espanol. Mm. So it's a pepino or cucumber taste. And that's what they make the micheladas with, which I
with
think.
With that beer?
Yes. Oh, so I think it would send the michelada to a whole new level.
Yeah.
So that was what was on my mind. I was really excited about that. Their little tasters look really cute. They have all sorts of wonderful brews. But I didn't get to taste one because the lines are so long. So I went fully, you know, my husband was going to drive me home. I was going to, you know, just knock him back. But I didn't get a chance to buy one because it was so crowded. Wow. Which speaks to, you know, how they were supporting this brewery.
Yeah.
And it's actually located right in front of the mayor's house, which is, I think, a historical landmark.
Oh, wow.
It's one of those old, old houses. Uh-huh. Yeah. So, but it's restored and beautiful. So it's a really nice area. There's parking in the back, and they actually want to bring the vendors in once a month. Mm-hmm. So, like, if you ever want to buy, like, a cool t-shirt or stickers or whatever for gifts or whatever, that's the place to go to shop.
Well, I've been seeing on their Facebook notifications about vendors and events and stuff happening, like, very consistently, and there is music a mm-hmm. house local DJ.
Nice. Mm-hmm.
It just looks like it's happening and hopping all the time.
It's a big location. It's two stories. They can have private parties in the mezzanine. Which we couldn't go on top. It was for like special guests. And but I wanted to take a video from the top.
Yeah.
Because it was super crowded. And not only that, they have original artwork on the walls.
Ooh.
That is for sale. So if you go, you're getting beer. You're listening to music. You can see a live band. You can play bingo or loteria. And you get to see art.
Nice.
I mean, there were
To me like the perfect location for a Comadasi Comics event.
Excited about that for sure. It's super, and I can't wait to see what they do for Dia de los Muertos because I'm sure it's going to be popping. Yeah.
You know, ooh, what's cool is that their little logo is a hop, but it is a calavera hop.
Mm-hmm. And then around it,
calavera face.
Around it, it has sort of the shaping of like como the Aztec.
Yes.
Kind of. Yeah, it's really, really cool.
So Border X Brewing can be found, all the information you need, at borderxbrewing.com. And they are located at 4400 Gage Avenue in Bell. And you can also find them on Facebook at borderxbrewing/Bell. And checking out all of the stuff that is on their Facebook and all the cool things that they have. And there's that picture of that michelada. Oh, my gosh. Definitely check out what they have and their event calendar, because they are a Latino owned and run business, and they would love to have your support.
Absolutely. And
on Gage, you say?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. And one of my favorite stories is one that I heard when we went to the one in Barrio Logan.
Mm-hmm.
And if you get a chance and you're in San Diego, I definitely recommend going to the one in Barrio Logan, only because it's so intimate and beautiful. They have an outdoor patio.
Yeah.
And in the neighborhood where there's like a lot of street art, it's just a great experience. But they were saying how when they came out with the Chocolate Abuelita stout, that women in strollers were coming in and were like, hey, we heard you have an Abuelita beer.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so like all the ladies were there with their strollers sipping their beer. I thought that was so
that's
charming.
Awesome. Yeah. I mean, I love the fact that, I mean, most breweries are in industrial areas, I guess, mm-hmm. just because of zoning and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I love the fact that for the most part, they are also in the hood.
Yes,
and,
for sure.
And in the places where I think that a lot of people don't have access to craft breweries without mm-hmm. having to, you know, take an Uber to Santa Monica or, you know, Culver or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there are a couple of breweries that are popping up over in East LA. And so I'm excited to see more of that.
Absolutely. Thank you for sharing that with us. All right. Today's saludos will go out to the people that worked on Latino Comics Expo 2019 in the city of Modesto, California, to all the artists, vendors, comic book creators, comic book writers, just artists in the comic book genre, and especially the people that made it happen. You guys are awesome, and we hope to join you guys again. So saludos to you guys. And that brings us to the end of our episode. We have been your hosts. I'm Sarah.
I'm Kristen.
And I'm Jen.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye.